John chapter 6, verses 41 through 59. We are talking about Jesus this morning, the true bread from heaven. He is he not, the great gift of Christmas? It's of no small consequence that the little village in which Jesus was born, the village of Bethlehem, that city named Bethlehem, has as its name the house of bread. And that's where the bread from heaven entered the world as a babe to give life to people like you and me. And He is the one, surely He is the one who day by day sustains us in this life. He is food for the journey of life. And that's what we talk about this morning. That to be sustained for the journey of life, you must partake of Jesus Christ, who is the true food. And you also, this Jesus, as we find it in our text this morning, is the one who sustains us for life in eternity. He is food for eternity. And so, again we say, to be sustained for the journey of life, to be sustained for eternal life, you must partake of this same Jesus Christ, who is the true food. It's interesting when we talk about this sort of thing, I think we get some things confused. And I think this is one of the things that Jesus is interested in clearing up in our text this morning. Because when you trust in Jesus Christ, when you trust in Jesus Christ, you eat His flesh and drink His blood. And that's the first point that we see in our text this morning, beginning with verse 41. The Jews therefore were grumbling about Him because He said, "I am the bread that came down out of heaven." And they were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? We know who this fellow is. How in the world can he say, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven'?" So Jesus had already said these things, and now Jesus is going about explaining it a little bit more, it seems to me. In verse 43, it says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day.'" You see, in response to this question, how in the world can Jesus talk about himself being the true bread? Immediately, Jesus jumps into an exposition of what it means to come to him, to have faith in him. And these are wonderful words in verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Some of us are very hesitant in understanding the implications of those words. The word that Jesus uses here, draws. "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him." It's the very same word that is used with regard to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter, seeing Jesus taken prisoner, he draws his sword and cuts off the ear of the high priest. That's the very same word. In other words, an individual must literally be drawn by God the Father as a sword is drawn from a scabbard. The very same word is used in the book of Acts, where the soldiers take Paul and his companion and they draw him away from the multitude because he is in danger. They literally lay hold of Him physically and they draw Him away from the multitude. Interesting, isn't it? And what Jesus says here in verse 44, "No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him," has tremendous implications for our lives. Because when we come to Jesus Christ genuinely and embrace this Jesus Christ, we have none other than been drawn by the holy work of God Himself. And what does Jesus say? "No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." This work of God in drawing men to Himself issues in eternal life, where men and women like you and me, on the last day when Jesus comes again in glory, we will be raised up again in a glorious resurrection of life to be with God forever in eternity. That's what Jesus is talking about. And coming to Jesus involves a faith where we embrace this Jesus and have hope for eternity. Jesus goes on to explain this in a little bit more detail in verse 45. He says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me." It's interesting that the Lord Jesus quotes from the Old Testament here. He quotes the prophet Isaiah. During the time of the prophet Isaiah, the Old Testament people of God, the Old Testament church of God, if you will, was in shambles. There was little faith. But the promise was that a time would come when all the people would genuinely be taught of God and know God. We're seeing that in foretaste now. We're seeing that in part now as we come together as a people and ply the pages of the Word of God and gain encouragement from God. But one day, in glory, there will be an assembly of God's people. And of that assembly, it will be able to be said without doubt, they are all taught of God. That's what we're pointed toward. And in order for there to be assurance that we will come into that great assembly of God's people in the last day, we must trust in Jesus Christ. Verse 45 again. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me." You see, individuals must be taught of God. And what does it mean to be taught of God? Jesus says two things are involved in being actually taught of God. First, you must hear from the Father. You must hear the Word of God. And where do we hear the Word of God? Friends, it's right here in this book, in this Bible. This is the Word of God. And when we hear what is spoken in this book, we hear the Word of God. Notice that Jesus is not saying that we have to, each one of us, stand in the presence of the Father and hear an audible voice. Verse 46 says, "Not that any man has seen the Father except one who is from God. He has seen the Father." We don't have to stand in the presence of God and hear an audible voice from God. The Bible, the Word of God, is given to us. And when we hear that Word, we hear from God. That's a tremendous thing, is it not? But something else takes place. Verse 45 again. "Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me." How many of you would raise your hand and you would say, "I remember times when I've listened to the Bible being read, and I've listened to the preacher talking about what was in the Bible, and I've heard those things, but I really didn't learn very much. It really didn't come home to me, so that I learned it. I remember as a boy being in an evangelical congregational Christian church, and many times participating in the worship services and hearing what the Bible had to say, but I didn't learn. I didn't learn what God had for me. What does Jesus say? Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father. There comes a time when the Holy Spirit must come and take the words of the Bible and illumine those words so that we begin to see the glory and the beauty of Jesus Christ. And we say of Jesus, how lovely you are. How beautiful you are. That must happen. And when that happens, Jesus says, people come. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Verse 46 again, not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. You see, this is what he's getting down to. That hearing and learning from the Father and coming then to Jesus, trusting Him with your life, trusting Him with your life for eternity, coming to Him, partaking of Him, eating of His flesh and drinking of His blood. That means really believing in Him. See? That's what Jesus is saying. Now Jesus changes the metaphor a little bit. Changes the figure of speech a little bit. And He begins to tell us that eating of His flesh and drinking of His blood means that we have food for life, food for the journey of life. And friends, that's really significant. Because each one of us in this auditorium this morning, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know I have struggles. I know I have times when I am dead dog tired and I need that energy, that food for life. What does Jesus say? Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. I am the bread of life, he says. Of course, this is what the Jews were so confused about. How in the world can this man who stands before us give of his flesh and of his blood that we can eat it? That's crazy. But they didn't understand. They couldn't make the transition from the physical to the spiritual. They couldn't understand the transition from that flesh and blood to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the transition we have to make here. And Jesus brings to the fore then the story of the people in the wilderness. Verse 49 again. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. He says, look, this shouldn't be so complicated. Your fathers long ago, they ate the manna in the wilderness. They ate the bread that came from God. And they died. Now the problem wasn't the weakness of the bread. That was perfectly good bread. And I suspect that if God brought that bread, it had to be perfectly good bread, right? The problem wasn't the weakness in the bread. The problem was the weakness of the faith of the people in the wilderness. And because they lacked a faith in God, they died in the wilderness. That was the problem. Had they had a faith in God, they would not have died in the wilderness. They would have gone into the promised land. They would have crossed Jordan and gone into Canaan land. Thank God, dear friends in Christ, those of us who do possess a faith in Jesus Christ and a trust in Jesus Christ, we have the great hope of crossing the verge of Jordan and entering into the promised land of heaven and of glory which is to come. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ that this may take place. And so Jesus says in verse 50, "This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die." Not die like the people in the wilderness died. Let me tell you something. You do realize that one of these days, you're going to die. That's not great news, is it? But we are, each one of us, mortal beings. I pray that none of you will die as those in the wilderness died, not having a faith in the living God through Jesus Christ. Because the death that is being spoken of here is a death which involves eternal separation from the glory and the blessedness and love of God. And if you love Jesus Christ, you will never experience that death. Praise be to God that that's the case. Verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." Here is a reference, you see, to the death of Jesus. And he gives his flesh in death for people like us. And when we, by faith, participate in the work of Jesus Christ and trust in that work of Jesus Christ, we have life. Life eternal. Life for this world. And life eternal. Christ, you see, is the bread of life. And so to be sustained for the journey of life, you must partake of Christ. You must believe in this Jesus. And Jesus goes on here. He tells us next that His flesh and blood are the only true food good for eternity. In verse 52, it says, "The Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' How can this be?" Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves." Jesus is taking it a step further here, because he's saying, not only must you trust in the sacrifice of Christ for your life, And not only must you eat and feed upon Jesus Christ if you're going to be sustained for this life. But dear friends, you've got to have life in you. In you there must be new life. Inside of you there must be new life. Paul says Christ in you. He speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And how does Jesus Christ come into you? That's a question, isn't it? Well, you see, Jesus is working on this whole concept of the Father drawing people and working in them by the Holy Spirit and coming to faith in Christ. And he's taking it a step further here. I'm talking about the fact that when you eat of His blood and drink, or drink of His blood and eat of His flesh, and symbolically take in Jesus Christ, that's what's happening. You're feeding upon, by faith, a person who comes to dwell in you and give you new life, give you new strength, and propel you forward. How glorious that is. Verse 53 again. Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." See, there you have it again. God placing His life in us, giving us new life through Christ, and the promise of eternal life through the resurrection. Why is this true? Jesus says in verse 55, "For My flesh is true food, and My blood is true drink." Oh, dear friends, do you want the true sustenance of life? Then you have to come to Christ. And you have to trust in His work. And Jesus Christ has to live in you. He is the true food and the true drink. And just as you go to the table, and you're going to go to the table here in a few minutes, aren't you? You're going to go to the table. Some of you are saying, "Why doesn't this guy get done so we can go to the table?" You're going to go to the table and you're going to eat. And you're going to drink to sustain this mortal body. But Jesus is saying to you now that He is the true food and He is the true drink. And just as you go to that dinner table and eat of that food and drink of that beverage, you must eat of Christ. You must feast upon Jesus Christ. And you know, and when we come to the communion table, as we're going to do this morning, in a more particular way, we feed by faith upon Jesus Christ. For what purpose? To gain strength for this life, and to be assured of eternity, which is coming. I'd like to read to you from the Shorter Catechism, just a couple of statements, because I think the Catechism puts it together for us. Listen to this. What is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a sacrament wherein, by giving and receiving bread and wine, according to Christ's appointment, His death is showed forth, and worthy receivers are, not after a corporal and carnal manner, but by faith, made partakers of His body and blood, with all His benefits, to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. You see, there's nourishment here as we partake of Jesus Christ. What is required to the worthy receiving of the Lord's Supper? It is required of them that would worthily partake of the Lord's Supper that they examine themselves of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body, of their faith to feed upon Him, of their repentance, love, and due obedience, lest coming unworthily they eat and drink judgment to themselves, of their faith to feed upon Jesus Christ. That's why we gather together. That's why we gather together week by week as we open the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, and as the Spirit of God applies to our hearts the Word of God. We're feeding on Christ and in the Lord's Supper in a more particular way. We feed by faith upon Him who is our life. What a wonderful thing it is. And so I guess as we look at this scripture this morning, as Jesus says, "My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, he also who eats of me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever." How wonderful it is. So here we are. And I guess I could ask the question of you this morning. Where are you in your celebration of Christmas? Where are you in that? I trust that you are embracing Jesus Christ. Where are you with regard to feeding upon Him? Is He for you the true bread of life? And do you trust Him, therefore, with your life now? And do you trust Him with your life for eternity? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Jesus, the bread of life. We thank You that in every way You are pleased to give to us Yourself. May we be individuals who truly come to You, who not only hear about You, but learn from You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.